prophetic convergence. Everywhere we look around the world, we're seeing the prophetic signs that herald the stage setting, really, for the tribulation. Things are just going crazy. I like to say that, basically, the accelerator is all the way to the floor for prophetic convergence. And we're seeing this on many, many fronts. Today, we're going to look at a few. I want to look at things like the New World Order agenda as it's being promoted by the global cabal and by the deep state. Maybe we'll take a look at some of the technology that is presently being weaponized and is going to be seriously weaponized by the deep state. We'll look at some of the geopolitical stage setting that's going on right now that's setting up the world for, first for the Gog and Magog situation and then also for the tribulation. Nature's run amok, and we also see a great deal of apostasy in the church. We've got a lot of topics that could be covered. Maybe we're going to get hung up on one or two of them, and they're going to go so deep that we won't get anywhere else. But wherever the Lord leads today, we are going to be looking at stuff that's extremely timely. Now, I'd like to start with the New World Order agenda as it's being pushed by the global cabal. When we look around the world, we are seeing some extreme efforts to bring the world under one world governance. Many of you had your attention drawn recently to the SDG summit that was held in New York City. This is really a big deal. Now, some people made more out of it than they should have, and they were kind of pointing to this as the beginning of the tribulation, and that frustrated those of us who prefer to be a little bit more sober-minded when it comes to handling prophetic convergence. But nonetheless, it is a very significant issue in Bible prophecy. The purpose of the SDG summit was to accelerate the UN's implementation and the world government's implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Now, at first glance to a lot of people, this sounds, oh, yeah, good. We're going in the direction of let's reduce pollution. Let's reduce the use of harmful pesticides and chemicals in our agriculture. And let's make a little bit more equity out there in the world so there's less distance between the poor and the rich. Well, really what's going on with this globalization agenda, folks, it is the deindustrialization of the world. They really don't care that much about the pollution. That's a secondary thing. What they care about is reducing the industrialization of the world. If they reduce the industrialization of the world, they reduce the independence of the nations and make them dependent on the whoever the governing body of the world's ultimately going to be. They also have a goal of depopulating the world. And make no bones about it, folks, they are underway already in their depopulation agenda. And when we're dealing with the reduction of agriculture in the world, dealing with the reduction of animal husbandry in the world, dealing with the reduction of large-scale farming in the world and trying to bring things back a century or so on many of these fields and go back away from the modern diet. The end game here is not actually concern for the health of the human being. And the end game is not actually concern that there's not enough food in the world. The concern is there's too many people in the world. And that is the end game of globalization. The climate agenda fits right into this thing. You know, we're getting hammered all the time about global climate change. Well, there is some serious things going on in the world, but why do people not raise the question, hey, maybe the book of Revelation is true. Maybe the book of Daniel is true. Maybe Bible prophecy is true. Maybe the Lord is actually going to bring judgment upon the world at the end of the days. Maybe these are the early Braxton Hicks birth pains of the last days. It's very interesting to me, too, when you go down this path. Why do people even think that too much carbon dioxide in the air is a bad thing? Everybody that's ever run a greenhouse on a commercial scale knows if you increase the carbon dioxide in the greenhouse, you get better growth in the plants in the greenhouse. And if you have better plant growth in the greenhouse, then the oxygen content will also pick up because the plants utilize that carbon dioxide and turn it into oxygen in a chemical process known as photosynthesis. Now, we also would see the same thing on the global scales. If the carbon dioxide is increased a little bit out there in our atmosphere, that would be a great thing for the forests. The forests would thrive on it. And if the forests and the pasture lands and the grasslands are thriving because they got enough carbon dioxide, because plants live off of carbon dioxide, then they're going to put out more oxygen. So a slight increase in the carbon dioxide, if we're just looking at the plant variable, is going to result in an increase, an equivalent increase in the oxygen output. But this climate agenda, folks, is not about saving the planet. The climate agenda is not really about reducing the carbon in the air or the carbon dioxide in the air. This agenda is about controlling the nations, controlling the independent nations. It's about controlling mankind. Make no bones about it. The deep state in America, the global cabal in Europe and in other parts of the world, they are determined to control your life. They are determined to make equity in the world from their description of equity, from their understanding of equity, from their definition of equity. And that means we're all going to be poor. We're going to go back to a feudal society if the Lord tarries and we're still here. And they are going to go to a feudal society in the tribulation. And what do I mean by a feudal society? I mean that there's going to be a small class of extremely wealthy people. They're going to have a small handful of servants who are on the lord and royalty class, and they are going to be subservient to the big dogs, and everyone else is going to be a serf. We are going to have a marginal living in a marginal living situation. We're going to have marginal food to eat. That's their goal. They want people listening to them, submitting to them, following them, people that are independent, people that are productive, people that are self-determining and self-governing are in the way. And by the way, if you haven't thought about this before, you are the carbon that they want to reduce. Well, we have some other interesting things that are in play right now, too, with the globalization agenda. One of them is the central bank digital currency. America is on track, according to her plans, to be introducing a central bank digital currency, theoretically, in the fall of 2025. If they fast-track it, we could see it significantly earlier than that. Now, what's the dangers of the central bank digital currency? Well, the danger is that they're going to have absolute control over you and over your financial situation. With the central bank digital currency, this is a robust economic system that not only is in control of your finances in your bank, it'll be in control of your finances in every physical asset class that you have, whether you're going to have assets in the stock market, assets in the real estate markets. Eventually, these are all going to be tied together, and they're going to have absolute control over them. So if they freeze your assets, they're not just going to be freezing your checking account. They're not just going to be freezing your credit account. They're going to be freezing everything you have. They're going to be freezing your market assets. They're going to be freezing any assets that you have stored in asset preservation places. They're going to be freezing your real estate. They're going to have every human being in a stranglehold. Now, I personally think that we could be here when this gets put in place. I hope we're not. I hope we go up in the rapture before the central bank digital currency comes. But we need to be prepared for a fairly rough ride when this stuff comes. When they install the central bank digital currency system, it may well also come with a rebalancing of the U.S. debt. If they do that, it's going to involve the devaluation of the dollar. And you're going to, on October 30th, you're going to have $10,000 in your savings account. And on October 31st, when it switched over to the CBD system, you're going to have $5,000 in your account. They're just mark it down. And now maybe the markdown won't be so high. Maybe the markdown will be higher. And maybe they're going to do the CBDC first and then do a markdown later. But the path that they're on is a path of devaluating the dollar, and it is coming. Now, another part of this globalization agenda, it's really an issue in and of itself, is the moral perversion that is going on in the world. I'm just shocked when I look around. I mean, I can see people saying, oh, yeah, well, the digital stuff is cool because then we're more protected from cybercrime. Well, not necessarily. You might be protected from the brain-dead druggie down the street that just is a self-taught hacker that's trying to hack your email and hack your bank account. But you're not going to be protected from the great crime syndicates in the world who've got their hand in the government pocket, and the government has their hands in the crime syndicates' pockets, and you're not going to be protected from the criminals in government. You're going to be wide open to their crimes. If they want to just take and rob your savings account, they can. They will. If they trump charges up against you, claiming that you defrauded the government in your tax return, they can take whatever they want out of your checking account or savings account. This is going to be a situation with no due process. There's going to be a situation with no courts. It's going to be a situation with no appeal. But anyway, I ended up back on the central bank digital currency system. And I was trying to go down the track of moral perversion. What I started to say is people can make sense and see a good side of the digital system because ostensibly it will lower crime and it'll protect us from people stealing our identity and stealing our bank accounts. However, it's shocking to me that people don't see through the moral perversion. If you have 1 ounce of horse sense in your head, if you've been reading the Bible at all, just once a week for the last few years, it's plain as day that God hates moral perversion. It's plain as day that that was a sin that God, that caused the Lord to bring judgment on the world in Noah's day. It was the sin that caused the Lord to rain fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a sin that led to the downfall of the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. It's a sin that is currently destroying Europe and destroying America. And it is wickedness and iniquity. When you look at Romans chapter 1, you see plain as day that when a nation is turned over, to moral perversion, that is because they have rejected the knowledge of God. Now, we live in the modern evangelical era where people have all these little nonsense ideas like all sin is the same. Folks, all sin is not the same. Now, all sin is sin. Yeah, on that scale, yeah. And any sin, great or small, if you're an unbeliever, is evidence of your unbelief and it's taking you to hell. So we can agree there. But all sin is not the same. The sins of a believer who's struggling to walk a holy life should not ever be compared to the sins of the ungodly person intentionally indulging moral iniquity and wickedness. The Bible plainly says that the righteous man is more righteous than his neighbor. That's just what the Bible says. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a big difference between the godly man struggling with his weaknesses and the wicked man indulging his intentional perversion and snubbing his nose at God and telling God to go jump in the lake. Now, when we look at Romans chapter 1, we see that the sin of unbelief and the everyday sins, when they were indulged and men shook their fist at God, led to worse sin. And that worse sin is the sin of moral perversion. Men with men, women with women, and other forms of perversion that I hardly even dare speak about. This perversion is proof positive that America is going down the toilet. We are going down the toilet the same way that the Roman Empire went down, the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah went down. And America is going to face severe judgment. Europe is going to face severe judgment. The entire world is going to face severe judgment over this piece of iniquity. Now, let's move on to some of the technology that's going to be weaponized by the deep state and the global cabal, because they are going to be keeping eagle eyes on what we say and think about the climate agenda. And they're going to be keeping their eagle eyes on what we think about financial equity and what we think about moral perversion and what we think about the depopulation agenda. And if we even dare speak up on these things, they're going to use technology as a weapon. And they're going to start with the digital technology. We talked about that central bank digital currency system, which is a very robust system. Your financial assets are going to be connected immediately to your entire record, your entire criminal record, your personal record, your education record, your work record. Your every record you have is going to be connected into this system, and you will be investigated. You will be watched. You will be scoped out. Now, it's also going to be tied with AI systems. These AI systems will be scanning your data. They're going to be scanning your data for patterns of your purchases, scanning your data for the things you say on Facebook and social media, scanning your data for what you've said on YouTube or for what you've commented on YouTube. And when you mix this AI into the mix and you use supercomputers with AI and you use quantum computing with AI, now you're talking about them going to be able to gather every information on you in, that's out there anywhere on the internet, including the deep web, bring it all in, organize it, categorize it, and give it a social credit score. And then you're off and running. You're either going to be an upstanding citizen who's upstanding in the eyes of the world and is morally bankrupt in the eyes of God, or you're going to be a person who's morally bankrupt in the eyes of the world and is an outstanding heavenly citizen in the eyes of God. This dichotomy is coming. It's already here in its early stages of development, but it is going to get worse. And when they implement this technology and weaponize it against us, folks, and oh, I hope and pray that we are not here. This kind of weaponization of technology is going to make it virtually impossible to maintain a Christian testimony without facing civil and criminal penalties, at least facing social shaming. It's coming. It is coming. Now, one thing that's really scary about some of this digital technology combined with the AI technology is it will be able to scan all of your social media posts for the last 20 years and come up with a nutshell categorization of you and grade you, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. You're an absolute 10 nutcase Christian. You're a 9. You're an 8. All the way down to a 5, maybe down to 4 and 3, and they're starting to get compromised. Maybe we can work them over a little bit and get them to conform to the New World Order agenda. but they are going to be looking at your Bible-believing score. That's really what they care about, folks. That is really what they care about. You know, once you understand what's going on here, that this is the institutions of God and God versus the institutions of Satan, which are absolutely opposed to God and his evil self. So that every institution of God has to get turned upside down. First, they're going to pollute the church, and then they're going to burn it with fire in the middle of the tribulation. First, they are going to deceive Israel with that covenant with Sheol, with the covenant that's forced by one evil man upon the many. And then they're going to show their real hand in the middle of the 70th week. And Israel's going to realize she was duped, she was played. There's many of them are going to flee for Petra or wherever they're going to flee. But the rest are going to come under severe persecution. Well, the help that they're going to be using as they roll out this kind of wickedness and this kind of perversion is going to be the digital technology, the AI, the supercomputers, and the quantum computing. And they're going to weaponize it. So in the meantime, folks, don't be afraid to use this technology. There's probably, it's already too late for you to save yourself when this stuff happens. You're not going to be able there to go out there and clean up. Even if you delete your Facebook account and your Twitter account and delete all your accounts, they still have your Twitter record and your Facebook record. I mean, the public may not see it, but they see it. They have it all copied, folks. Make no bones about it. You cannot run from your past. So you might as well just man up, woman up, and be bold with the gospel and leave as many footprints out there as you can for righteousness, for the gospel, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the truth of the pre-trib rapture, for the truth of taken prophecy, literally, for the truth that the early chapters of Genesis are actually history. People are going to need that. You never know. There might be someone that's employed in a government office, and he is assigned your case. And as he's going through your Facebook and Twitter stuff and your Instagram account, he might be convinced of the truth of the gospel through your testimony. So don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. It's time to burn brightly and fearlessly for the truth, in the presence of the evil giant of the New World Order agenda. Folks, little David trusted the living God. He picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he went out there with his little sling against mighty Goliath. And Goliath was boasting in his earthly pride and his earthly strength. And David had no boast but the living God. And he didn't say, I took on the lion and the bear all by myself. No, it was the Lord strengthened him to take on the lion and the bear. He already knew that God was the God of deliverance. And he knew that God would help him with the giant. We are facing some giants right now, folks. Giants in the sense of the New World Order agenda and the technology that's going to be weaponized against the people of God before and after the rapture. But we can trust the living God, folks, because with our 5 smooth stones, we are going to come out on top of the battle. We're not going to lose. We are going to win. And even if we are one of those who end up in a prison camp or a FEMA camp, or we end up as a martyr for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, we still come out on top. The truth is going to triumph. The gospel is going to triumph. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to triumph. So be encouraged, folks. Take heart. You know, we have an exciting opportunity in the battle that lies before us. As we look around and we see this accelerating convergence, rather than getting terrified to see convergence accelerating and the world's getting darker and darker down here, and we feel like, where can we find a cave to hide? Where can we find our secret bunker with beams and bullets and hide out? No, what we need to find We need to see that this accelerating darkness is red lights flashing that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. We need to be excited because the signs of the gathering darkness are the signs that the rapture trumpet is soon, that we are going home soon. Our pulse should be accelerating. Our excitement should be accelerating. Our second wind should be gathering. This battle, we can be excited in the battle. We need to take this battle home. We need to take it to darkness. We need to take it to the enemy. I'm just getting so choked up here thinking about the opportunities that we have. Every one of you out there, no matter how weak you feel, no matter how tired you feel, no matter how broken you feel, you have a glorious opportunity, like David had, to show that God is the God of the world, that God is the God of Israel, that God is the God of the church, that God is the God of the Bible, and that the God of the Bible is alive, that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, that the gospel still has the power to save, that the Holy Spirit still strengthens and inspires and gives wisdom and insight in the hour of need. We have a tremendous, tremendous opportunities out here before us. So be encouraged, folks. Be excited. Don't worry about this new world order agenda getting darker and darker. And don't worry about this technology that they're weaponizing against us. No weapon formed against you can prevail against you unless it's God's determined will for you to suffer for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you get chosen to suffer for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, then jump and shout and dance for pure joy. Because great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets, they persecuted the prophets before you. Well, let me touch on a couple other things before we wind this up. Another thing that's exciting to me that we look around the world and we see accelerating is the things that are setting up the stage for the Gog and Magog situation. Right now, we're looking at the Saudi-Israeli normalization of relationships in the trade world, in the economic world, in the political world. This is exciting stuff. But this is stage setting for Gog and Magog. What this is ultimately going to end up being, I think, is this relationship between Saudi Arabia and Israel is why Saudi Arabia appears in Ezekiel 38 and 39 to be out of the picture, really to be neutral in the picture, when the whole Gog and Magog juggernaut rolls south to attempt to invade and destroy Israel and Jerusalem. Saudi Arabia is going to be on the sidelines. And this is part of the stage setting. Folks, you are seeing, not prophecy strictly speaking fulfilled, but you are seeing the stage setting for prophecy to be fulfilled. This should be filling your veins and your heart with excitement. Now, the other thing that we're seeing along this line is part of this whole Saudi Arabia-Israel deal is Saudi Arabia is angling for a defense agreement with America. That's what they want. That's really their end game. Now, they want a relationship with Israel, but they even want a defense agreement pact with America even more. Now, this is another argument for why Saudi Arabia will be sitting on the sidelines. So we're seeing the stage setting for this. It should get your pulse racing. The other things that we're seeing right now is Russia is strengthening her ties with Iran and other anti-West nations. She is laying a strong foundation for the Gog and Magog situation. You know, we thought when we imposed, and I'm speaking of America here, we thought when we imposed sanctions on Russia, we would crush her. Russia is coming out of this situation stronger than she went in. She's developed some stronger trade relations with Iran. She's getting some weaponry from Iran, like drones. She's developed stronger trade relationships with China, with India, with other nations on Earth. She's getting weapons from North Korea and China, or at least they're under plans to import some weapons. There's a lot going on here, folks. Russia is getting stronger and not weaker. Her military industrial complex is basically doubling their output over a year ago on things like tanks. Russia's planning on doubling her military spending next year. Russia is on a roll. And I think that we're going to see in the near future this stalled front with Ukraine start going in the favor of Russia. Now, there's other things that we're seeing in this world that are pretty amazing. We're seeing nature run amok. And we're seeing more severe storms than we've ever seen in the past. More severe typhoons, more severe hurricanes, more severe tornado storms. We're seeing flooding that's all over in Europe and different parts of the world. We're seeing flooding that they're calling once in a century or once in two or three centuries flooding. And there's a significant amount of this. I think we're going to continue to see these signs in nature. We're going to have, as we get closer to the tribulation, nature is going to be rocked and rattled and shaken. And nature is going to come unglued against mankind. I find it really an interesting take, folks, that the New World Order professes to be concerned about Mother Nature and about planet Earth. But yet, planet Earth, when it's all said and done, is going to attack mankind and attack the New World Order agenda and bring that whole situation to its knees. Because the earth is in God's hands, not in the hands of the devil and not in the hands of the New World Order. And God is unhappy with what they're doing. And nature is unhappy with what they're doing. We're going to continue to see an increase in earthquakes and volcanoes, with more big volcanoes per year and more severity in the volcanic eruptions, with more earthquakes over 5 and 6.0 on the Richter scale every year, and seeing the average severity of these rise. We're seeing a number of 6 and 7 plus earthquakes every year now, with an occasional 8, and this is going to continue to go up, folks. We're also going to see an increase in the flurries of fireballs and comets and meteors and shooting stars. This is just setting up for the great rocks that are going to fall in the tribulation. Well, one last area that I would like to cover where we're seeing accelerating convergence in a way that just makes my heart ache like crazy, and that is apostasy in the church. Now, I can halfway understand when we see the mainline churches caving on the perversion issue and caving on the global warming issue. But when we see people who profess to be evangelicals caving on the perversion issue and getting on the wrong side of the fence and taking a stand against the Bible of Jesus and the Jesus of the Bible and holding up a Jesus that's little more than a Buddha that you sit on the shelf and rub his belly to get a blessing, then I start to get indignant, folks. I just recently read about the Andy Stanley conference, and folks, my eyeballs want to explode and blow out of my head. How in the world can anybody that really trembles at the word of God, that's really truly a follower of Jesus Christ, even think there's any spiritual reality in somebody like that? Folks, if you are still listening to preachers like Andy Stanley, do yourself a favor and walk away. Just walk away. Anything good they might have to say, you can hear from 100 other sources that's going to be taught much more clearly, much more biblically, and it's not going to be mingled with deadly spiritual error. Make no bones about it, folks. Moral perversion is always wrong. Now, let me qualify here a little bit, just so people don't think I'm throwing the gospel of grace aside. I understand perfectly, folks, and hopefully you all do too. New believers can struggle with homosexual sin and lesbian sin. Everybody struggles with sin when they're a new believer. So we're not saying that believers can't have struggles with these things. What we're saying is if you say that that course is right and doesn't require repentance and that God approves of it, that's what we're saying is wrong. God is very, very gracious. God has great, tender mercies upon everybody, whether heterosexual sin or homosexual sin or any other kind of perversion or even murder. If we come to Him broken, seeking His grace, He forgives. And if we still struggle with our anger, if we still struggle with our sin, He will help us along on the path of progressive sanctification. So understand, there is tons of mercy for the repentant pervert. There is. God is as gracious with them as He is with any other sinner on the planet. But it's important that if that is your sin, that you own it up as perversion. And that you just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm rebelling against You. And folks, straightforward heterosexual fornication is wrong. But it's another step in the direction of perversion iniquity. You're going beyond everyday sin when you go down the path of perversion. Now you're not only having sex outside of marriage, you're having perverted sex that is greatly dishonoring to God. But at any rate, I don't want to beat this drum any longer. We need to wind this program up. We've covered five different areas of sin and accelerating convergence in the world. We covered the New World Order agenda. We covered the technology that's going to be weaponized. We covered the geopolitical stage setting for the Gog and Magog. We looked at nature running amok. And we looked at apostasy in the church, especially with touching on the issue of moral perversion. So I want to wind this up with some encouragement, folks. I'm going to go to the same place I was here just a few minutes earlier. There's a lot going on in the world. Satan is on the accelerator. Prophetic convergence is on the accelerator. But God is on the accelerator, too. I'm just excited as I look around and see many people who've gotten a vision for the things of God and gotten a vision for social media ministry or YouTube ministry in the last few years. Stay open to the hand of God. Stay open to the leading of God. Let Him use you in any way He pleases. Be bold with the gospel. Be bold with your neighbors. Be bold with your family. Be bold with your friends. Be bold when you're on the beach. Be bold when you're hiking. Be bold when you're jogging. Be bold when you're shopping. Be bold when you're buying gas. Just be bold. And be ready to pass out literature, including some of the left behind literature that some of our brothers like Scott Townsend and James Panafino put out. And if you have other stuff of the same kind, use that too. But leave your mark everywhere, folks. We don't have much more time down here. We have no idea if we got a few hours left, a few days left, a few weeks left, a few months left, or a few years left. Now, if I had my druthers, I'd say, Lord, can we go today? Maybe next week at the latest, but you know, after the conference. But Lord, we do want to go home. And if we don't go home till two or three more years down the road, then we are going to give it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength on the battlefield. So with that, folks, I'm going to wind this show up. Keep looking forwards, folks. Keep pressing forwards. Keep looking up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Great Commission. Soon this battle's going to be over, and we're going to have sweet, eternal rest. So take care, and God bless.